All right, anyway. So a few weeks ago, actually it was before Christmas or after Christmas, when Don was supposed to be in Peoria, and the weather had other changes, or had options, I guess, or spoiled your fun in your class. Did they just postpone it, or
no, they
canceled it
they
all?
They just went up, they went ahead without me.
Did they, really? I am so sorry that that happened. I really am. Yeah, that was just last weekend.
Yeah.
But a few weeks ago, prior to that, we had determined that we would start our service last week, and we'd go ahead and do the message. And I went ahead and saved it for today. And I would normally speak on Second Sunday anyway. And so I'm just going to read what I had written, and then we'll get into the Word. We're going to be in the Old Testament for a while. So just keep that in mind. Many things start out incredibly small, tiny, infinitesimal. You and I both, all of us, every one of us started out small, microscopically small. When you think about it, I mean, tiny. We've all been to the classes, and we are all adults, and we know how things happen, and we know how tiny those pieces are when they come together. And then what happens? We start up incredibly small. And it's not by chance. It's not by happenstance. There's a plan and a purpose. And then there's a miracle that takes place. Its cells divide and increase and it grows. But it started out infinitesimally small. Jesus talked about the faith that can move a mountain being the size of a mustard seed. How tiny. We've all held mustard seeds, I'm sure. There's different kinds. You know, some are tinier than others. But they're generally 2 millimeters and under. 2 millimeters and under. And then the size of the plant that comes from where Jesus said birds of the air can build their nests in it. Mm-hmm. But it's a tiny, tiny little seed. It's celery seeds, even though the plant doesn't, you know, get quite as big as a mustard seed there as a mustard plant. Celery seeds are incredibly tiny. You know? So as I thought about the mustard seed, I always think a lot about oaks and oak acorns. Mm-hmm. And how an acorn is generally about a half an inch, you know, maybe 1.5 to 2 centimeters, depending on the type of oak. But that oak starts out quite small compared to the size of the tree that's inside of that oak tree or acorn. Mm-hmm. That seed contains everything it needs. That acorn contains everything that it needs to become an oak tree. It starts out incredibly small. It needs to be in the right place and have the right conditions. The same with us. As I thought about that, I also began to think about numbers. And, you know, I'm one of those guys, I think a lot about words, and I think a lot about numbers and timing and where we are and what's going on in the world and how everything relates. I probably spend too much time thinking about that stuff, but it fascinates me, and it always has. Numbers are important in many cultures for more than what they may represent at face value. There's a lot of cultures that give faith to and credence to numerology, and it's prevalent in the Bible. You know, and there's still parts of the Christian faith and the Jewish faith where numbers are given a lot of credence. You think several years ago, was it 15, 20 years ago when the Bible code came out and they were plugging numbers and all of the different words that were lining up in the different books of the Bible and all these supposed prophecies that had been talked about in the Bible that were found through this code. But in the Bible, we notice the repetition of several numbers. Number 1, the number 2, the number 3, the number 7, 8, 12, 40. If we read through the Bible, we'll begin to see this pattern where numbers are important. There's one God. There's only one. There's one way to heaven through Jesus Christ. You and I are one body. Man and a woman come together as husband and wife. It becomes one flesh. There's a lot of symbolism there. in the number one. The number two, Old and New Testament, Old Covenant, New Covenant, the old way of doing things. If you look at the book of Hebrews, you'll see where there's a first way of doing things that the author of Hebrews talks about, and then he comes and says, but there's a better way. Mm-hmm. So there's two ways of that God was showing this way of doing it, which was by the law, which was rough and tough and didn't really work out because we can't live up to it. And then there's the way of faith, where he talks about in Hebrews chapter 11. You know, a better way. There's a better way, another way. And of course, three, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, body, soul, and mind. We're to worship God, you know, the hero Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You will worship him with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, all that. Seven days of the week, right? Eight, the number of new beginnings. 12 disciples. Now we have 12 months, which 40 days in the wilderness, 40 years in the wilderness. Jesus, 40 days in the wilderness. 40 is a significant number. First number we're going to look at has been called the number of perfection or the number of completion. That's the number 8. The number 7. Screwed up there. The number 7 is the number of completion or the number of perfection. God created the earth in 6 days, right? He did everything that's listed in Genesis to the 6th day, and we were the last ones. He saved the best for last. And I've said this before, where days 1 through 5, he looked at what he had done. He had looked at the creation. He had looked at his work and said, it is good. Then on the 6th day, when he made us the best for last, he looked and he said, very good. So that's how he considers us. He considers us the better part of his creation. We are very good in his eyes. He loves us. He is proud of his creation. He's proud of us just for who we are. Like, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. You know, when the Holy Spirit, when God spoke over Jesus. And this was before he had ever begun his ministry, you know. It was at that time. My beloved son, whom I am well pleased. Well pleased already without doing anything. God rested on the 7th day. His work of creation was finished. He began the Sabbath. Then as the Sabbath ends, if you've seen, we talked a couple weeks ago, we were talking about, remember what was it, the Fiddler on the Roof? We were getting a serenade by Sue and Amelia and Tammy, and I don't know, did you join in at all? Fiddler on the Roof. But I think, you know, every time I think of Fiddler on the Roof, I think of this scene where they're having the Sabbath, and they light the candles, and the mother is there, you know, she lights, and they're doing this, and they're saying the prayers, and there's the Sabbath begins at sundown, and then the following is the beginning of a new week, a brand new day. So 8 is the number of new beginnings, the first day of the week starting over. So I look deeper than what most of us might do. And whether it's coincidence or not, I believe it's significant that we left our cocoon, our seed, our little acorn on Route 17, the number 7, the end of Route 17. We ended it in 2017, the 7, the number of completion. Our work was done there. And he's moved us to another location, when? In 2018, the 8, the number of new beginnings. And I think, you know, for me, that is significant. You all might go, like you always do, that guy's crazy, doesn't, you know, he's really reaching there. But that's okay. Hopefully you'll latch on to that idea that it's, you know, there is some significance in this. It's a good thing. We've left our cocoon, we've left our little acorn on 17 and moved into a new place. This is like I think of it like a greenhouse, a nursery kind of thing where the seeds are being planted. The seeds that were started from the plant that was on 17 have been brought here to a new place of growth. Mm-hmm. It's a different environment. A lot of the same people, but a different environment. So, the most obvious and material reason we've had to start meeting in a new place is because we have grown small in number. it became impossible to pay the bills. And it's whether we had so few people were coming and bringing offerings, but that's okay. We're small now. We are small. And that's nothing to be ashamed of or to be angry with God about. We don't need to be ashamed of being a small church. We don't need to be angry with God because, you know, how could you just leave us in this place? You know, what did we do wrong? Why didn't you give us better whatever? You know, we don't need to spend time. We don't take the time to maintain those regrets of what we could have, would have, should have. Okay? God is proud of who we are. He loves us. He says we are good. We're his kids. He has something for us. If you've got your little device opened up to your Bible app or your PDF version of a Bible, that's good. Eventually it'd be cool if we can get verses up on the screen. We'll try to work that out at some point in time. Or if we do a Wi-Fi and hook up. I don't know how we'll do it. But anyway, in Zechariah chapter 4, first of all, Zechariah means Jehovah remembers. And in Zechariah, it talks about in the book of Ezra, where Israel was leaving Babylon and going back. They had been in captivity in Babylon for a long time. And they had tried to keep their traditions, but some of them were given Babylonian names and all the like. But Ezra talks about the same time period that Zechariah prophesied in. They were working together at the same time, talking, you know, giving God's word, being prophets. But Zechariah means Jehovah remembers. And that's important because prior to Israel leaving Babylon, to have a prophet with that name means God has not forgotten about Israel. He has not forgotten about Jerusalem. He has not forgotten about his covenant with his people. And he's sending them back from a place where they had been to this new, better place. He was sending them back home. Now, he worked with a man named Zerubbabel, and that name was a Babylon name. And let me see. It meant seed of Babel or Babylon. Zerubbabel. It was a seed of Babylon, meaning it came out of that place. It came out of Babylon, which is now Iraq. Came out of Babylon and went back to Jerusalem. The seed came out and was planted in Israel, in Jerusalem. Zerubbabel, I was reading, I restarted my Bible reading plan, and in Matthew chapter 1, it gives the genealogy of Jesus. And guess who's mentioned in that genealogy? Zerubbabel. He is mentioned in that genealogy. He is part of the line. He was to be king at some point. And he has this unique, because he served as governor. He was appointed, I believe, like a governor of that area in Israel. He wasn't allowed to be king. But he was also a priest, just like David. Just like Jesus, a king and a priest. Zechariah, I think, was of the line of Levi, the priest, the priestly line, Aaron and Levi, and then. So anyway, Zerubbabel was given the task of rebuilding the temple. He was in that was his job. They went back after captivity. It's time to rebuild the temple. A new place to live, a dwelling place for God, a place where the people could come and worship and offer their sacrifices. It was a place that they could look to and see God. Have that physical place of, this is important, this is holy ground, this is the place where God dwells. To be given that task. So now we are a new building. You know, we're being restored. We're being rebuilt. We're being remade. So we're going to talk about being small. Zechariah chapter 4, verses 5 through 10. I first heard this message, a very similar message, when I was in the band when Tammy and I had met, and you weren't there at this. This was prior to our meeting. Our band had been invited to play at a youth event in Indian Springs, Nevada, very close to the prison. It was a small church, but they had a lot of kids. And somehow, some way, we wound up being a part of this youth festival that they had going on in Indian Springs, and we were invited to come play. And we had a good time. And we got, you know, afterwards, we got to meet the youth group and talk with the kids and that. And the pastor invited us back into his office. And he sat us down. And he talked about this verse. And I can see his face and I can remember how he said, "Humble beginnings. God starts with humble beginnings." And he saw potential. He saw potential in that small group that we had. And there were a lot of ifs, a lot of coulda, woulda, shouldas, but things just didn't work out. We missed it by that much. I'll talk about that some other time. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 5 through 10. "So the angel who was speaking with me answered and said to me, 'Do you not know,'" he's speaking to Zechariah, "'do you not know what these are?' And I said, 'No, my Lord.' Then he said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. What are you, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? You will become a plain,'" not like an airplane, you know, just like Kansas, like flat land, flatlanders. "Before Zerubbabel, you will become a plain, and he will bring forth the top stone with shouts of grace, grace to it. Also the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house, and his hands will finish it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For who has despised the day of small things? But these seven will be glad when they see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. These are the eyes of the Lord which range to and fro throughout the earth.'" So there's this lampstand, the menorah, the seven lights, which represent the Holy Spirit, the light of the world, Jesus. It's all in the menorah. And it signifies we go from the first day of the week, and we go, this is the regular one, this is the one we use at Christmas time, Hanukkah time, sorry. It's the seven candles that they would light, the seven golden lampstands. And it would go from the first day of the week to the end, and they could see it's almost time for a new beginning. And they would go, and it's a new beginning. I think they use the same flame to keep that flame going. They didn't strike a new match or flick their bick for the new candlestick or lamp. We're familiar with this verse. "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord." It's not by us pushing and trying and flapping our wings to get off the ground. It's nothing physical. It's nothing material that builds the kingdom of God. It's by his spirit. It's only by his spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who is the designer. His hands work through us. We're like gloves in his hands. And it looks like we're doing the work, but it's him. Because we follow him, we're supposed to follow him and see his blueprint. He says, "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. What are you, O great mountain?" He's speaking to the mountain. He's speaking to the obstacle. He's speaking to what is in the way. This harkens back to what Jesus said about the mustard seed, about that size of faith. "What are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become a plain, and he will bring forth the top stone, the capstone, the finishing touch, the last piece. He will build it. And he will bring forth the top stone with shouts of grace, grace to it. Also the word of the Lord came to me saying, 'The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house, and his hands will finish it.'" Just like Jesus, when he came as that baby, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, which were grave clothes. They put him there. He was born to die. But he came as a baby. He came as the most vulnerable kind of human being he could be. Completely and totally vulnerable. At a time when King Herod had put out this edict, after Jesus had turned 2 years old, he was afraid he was going to lose the throne. He was going to lose everything. Mm-hmm. And Herod put out this edict, just like the same thing that Pharaoh had done when Moses was born. We need to get rid of these kids. We need to get rid of all the males because they're going to be trouble for us. They're going to overtake us. So we need to get rid of the powerful, manly men, which is hard to imagine a Jewish guy being a powerful, manly man. But I guess when you're a carpenter like Jesus, you know, you're working with your hands and all that, you're cut. You know, you don't get... So Jesus started out small. He started out very small. And then he called Peter to come to him. One person. Peter got his brother. Then we see this progression where Jesus started calling different people to come to him. And he had his one, John. The Bible says the one whom Jesus loved. Then he had his three, right? Then he had the 12. He started out very small, as a baby. And as he grew, and then as he began the ministry, it's gotten pretty big. So you and I are a part, even though we start small as a part of the body of Christ, we're part of something big. We're part of something big. For who has despised the day of small things? But these seven will be glad when they see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. They're going to be glad when they see the beginning. Because you put out the plumb line and that sets up everything that's going to be straight. It's going to be right. Right angles. It's not going to be askew. It's not going to be crooked. It's going to be right and straight and perfect. It's going to be plumb. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be happy when they see it because they know it's beginning. It's a beginning. It's a small beginning, but it's started. And we've been told it's going to be finished. It's going to be completed. So we're going to close here by looking at Mark chapter 4. In Mark chapter 4, in that area, he begins to give out a lot of different parables talking about the kingdom of God. And, you know, he's comparing, you know, what is the kingdom of God like, what's it? And so he gives a couple of parables, and then he gets to the one that we're going to talk about, Mark chapter 4, verse 30 and 32. And it's the mustard seed. He said, and he said, speaking of Jesus, how shall we picture the kingdom of God, or by what parable shall we present it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the soil, though it is smaller than all the seeds that are upon the soil, yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and forms large branches, so that the birds of the air can nest under its shade. In those examples, prior to this one, Jesus talks about sowing and seeds. S-O-W-I-N-G, not S-E-W. He talks about sowing seeds. The farmer went out to sow seeds. And then he gives the parables of what the kingdom of God is like and how it grows up. And the weeds and the wheat and what grows. And then the one who comes and tramples the seeds and where the seeds fall and all that. Then he comes here and he talks about the size, the mustard seed, and what it can do. So here we are. We ended 2017. And we left our building. We left our cocoon, we left it, and a little acorn was sent out. And we're being planted once again to begin growing and to have this new thing. And we should not despise the day of small beginnings. It's 2018, the number of new beginnings, number 8. And I believe it's significant. And it's the first month of the year. Another beginning. And we don't despise the day of small beginnings. We don't look at it and say, can't do it. It's like starting a business, you know. Most businesses fail. It takes a lot of tries to get it up on the ground and make it fly. We know that one, don't we? Yeah, it's tough. So we don't despise the day of small beginnings. We move forward. Father, we thank you for this time. that we've had together, and I just ask that you would seal these words, these scripture verses, the encouragement and the prophecy that you spoke through Zechariah to Zerubbabel, bringing the people out of Babylon back to the promised land to rebuild the temple. And you said it would be finished, it would be completed, and it was. And we thank you, Jesus, for your example of the kingdom of heaven being like a mustard seed, where it starts out small in our hearts and in our group, and it begins to grow. We have been grafted into the vine. We've gone through a pruning over the years. And it's not a bad thing. It's not like cutting off dead branches, because a lot of those people who left in the pruning were grafted into other places and are still growing and learning and a part of the kingdom. So we don't despise this time. I don't despise this time. I'm not angry. I have anticipation and hope. Father, we lift up those to you who aren't here this morning. Those who are sick, those who are struggling. I just ask that you would give them encouragement. Holy Spirit, meet them where they are. And if we could just think about this home that Jeff has, and this property, the land that surrounds it, the people that occupy the houses in this cul-de-sac and down the street, Kingsman, and what that means, the Kingsman, and how we belong to the King. We think about this street moving down through all of Beachmont, and all the people that live in those houses, where they are. Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. We commit this place and ourselves as a family that you've put together. We just put ourselves in your hands. So where we go from here? Comments, questions, testimonies, praise reports, Snyder.